Let's keep our Bibles open at Psalm 77, which we read. First one, see if we can just have depression is the topic that I am asked to deal with today. Well, there may be a lot of questions in your mind already. Maybe as I speak to you from the scripture, more questions may be rising up in your heart. I'm not sure whether we will have time to cover all the difficult situation that often come with this experience of depression in people's life. Nonetheless, the Word of God has given us some very wonderful principles upon which we can build our life, even in very troubled times that we face. Depression generally affects people of every age. Even young children nowadays are affected by what is called depression. But whether it is the biblical kind of depression is a question that will be debated on all the time, because what is known as stress because of heavy workload or assignments or exam pressure, teachers' insistence on in students' performance in a certain way, or parents' expectation, children sometimes feel so stressed they start crying uncontrollably, they have no spirit to talk, they are moody, they show their frustration through very ill-disciplined behavior, outrageous behavior, and all these are sometimes, in my personal opinion, wrongly classified as depression. Sometimes kids who are not disciplined properly, not guided properly, are called hyperactive ADHD kids. Actually, they have no problem. It's just that they have not been properly guided. Of course, having brought up three kids of my own, I understand the struggles that sometimes parents feel when they bring up kids. And when you have no time for bringing up kids, you're busy managing your own business, your own profession, and then on the top of it, bringing up kids is really a very demanding thing. And in fact, upbringing of kids is a matter of full-time job for parents, at least for one of the parents. And I believe home duties belong to the ladies, as men had to work to bring the bread to the table. So sisters who are mothers will have a great burden. But nowadays, sisters are also outside the home, working so hard and being weaker vessels, being drained out of emotions and strength, come back home to see three or two naughty kids running around, crying, weeping. They just turn on the TV and say, sit there or go and do your homework. Children have no time to tell their burdens because mommy got to get ready for tomorrow. She already is so tired. And daddy is also busy. And maybe you end up with mates or play games and you just don't want to bother about things. And you don't know how to behave and you start behaving badly. And that's where a lot of kids are nowadays called ADHD. Kids, and you know, they are given psychotropic drugs, all kinds of medicine, and they become guinea pigs in the clinics of psychologists and psychotherapists, and they become addicted in some cases to some of these psychotropic drugs. And that's a sad thing we are seeing. So our primary schools today have psychologists. I've never heard this before. When we were growing up, I think we would go to give counseling to the psychologists. It would have been a different thing altogether. Now it's so silly. I just cannot imagine how primary schools must have psychologists and counselors and so on. What is happening to society? What is happening is that we are living in a very highly stressful world. It's all, everything is about achievement. You know, scoring high marks, doing well, and trying to keep up with the terrible race that is on. And so, when you live in a society like Singapore, stress is very, very great, and if you do not know how to handle it, surely some form of sadness, overwhelming sadness in some cases, will fill us. Frustration will come up, and naturally you'll end up in moodiness and distress and uncontrollable sadness sometimes. So that is then called depression. Now, I was firstly, I want to make a distinction between depression in non-Christians and depression in Christians. Now, if you are a Christian, I'm going to speak to you, of course, as a Christian. We have a biblical approach to it. But if you are not a Christian, of course, biblical approach is not going to work because you are not saved, you are not in a relationship with God, you have no peace with God. You see, salvation itself is being at peace with God. That's a very big thing when it comes to life's problems, because God is God of peace, and to be at peace with God of peace is the grandest and the most glorious thing you can ever possess in a Christian life. So if you are not a Christian, you are not at peace with the God of peace. The Prince of Peace, which is Christ, is not in you. You don't understand when Jesus says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." You won't understand any of these things because you reject Christ, you reject God. And so, and also, another danger in non-Christians' life is that they can be actually demon-possessed at times. So the depression may not be just a physical thing resulting from physical stress or some sickness. It can also be a spiritual one. Firstly, because they are not at peace with God. Secondly, because they are out of God's loving care in a redemptive way. They are open to all sorts of attack by the devil, including demon possession that can lead to terrible depression. And so if you are a Christian, you have nothing of that sort to worry. You are at peace with God, so that is a very safe ground for you to work from. And you are not under the spell of devil, because you have already been translated from the power of Satan into the light of Christ. So you are having Christ as your king, and he rules in your heart, and the devil is out of your heart. Devil and Christ cannot stay together. So it's impossible for a Christian to be demon-possessed. Demons can attack, demons can put thoughts in a Christian's mind, but you cannot take control. You can't keep a Christian's soul under total spell. And so we are very greatly saved from that. Okay, there are some things that are common to Christians and non-Christians when it comes to depression. For example, you have a severe brain disorder. You know, it can happen to a Christian or non-Christian, right? It's an organic problem. It's a physical problem. It's not a spiritual problem. It's a physical problem. So if you have a nerve disorder, you have some degeneration of brain cells or some damage that occurred because of an accident or a tumor growing, of course, then you might end up in great depression, great problems, and inability to control your mind. So you might call it depression. So non-Christians and Christians can have depression due to organic problems. Of course, the other area where both Christians and non-Christians have a common ground is where you are too stressed by life's issues. Maybe death of a dear one at home, maybe your father suddenly died unexpectedly, can give you tremendous sadness. And both Christians and non-Christians experience that sort of depression. It can be that you failed in your exam, or you didn't get the kind of mark that you expected to get for your exams, or you didn't get the job that you wanted to. These things can cause any man be in a spirit of sadness and moodiness for a while. So Christians then have a slight, and not slight, infinite advantage in this situation, because you can lean on God who help you, who will guide you through, because he says all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to purposes, according to his good purposes. So if you really trust in God, even in your extremely hostile and depressing situation, you can believe that things will turn out in time to come for my good and for the good of all around me, then you have the promises of God to lift you up So we have great advantage as Christians in such scenarios. So I'm struggling now to get you to a level where we can start off. Because, as I said at the very beginning, depression has many, many reasons, many causes behind it. So there are organic ones, that means because of physical damage or physical sickness. There are circumstantial causes, like you are not doing well in your studies, or your parents died, or good friend died, or some sort of disappointment. That these are some reasons. But when it comes to a Christian, he may have another reason which non-Christians don't have. In fact, I would say two major things that non-Christians may have, may not have, that could cause depression in you. One is God's chastisement. When you commit sin, the Lord may afflict you, sometimes through depressing thoughts. The other one is a trial of your faith. Sometimes you are doing everything right, you are growing in the Lord, but God decided to bring great affliction upon you, including mental and spiritual stress, emotional stress. Like in the case of Job, you know, Job was a wonderful man, a man after God's own heart. He eschewed evil. He lived a perfect life, according to chapter 1 of Job. But then the devil himself wanted to test and prove that Job is not serving God of sincerity of heart, but he wanted to get material gain. That's why he served God. So the devil said, well, can I destroy his possession? God said, go ahead, but don't touch his soul. So he destroyed everything. Still, Job was praising God. The Lord gave, the Lord took, blessed be his name. His 10 children were killed in one day. He didn't get depressed. He praised God. His wife came around and became very angry with him. He rebuked her and said, why do you speak like a fool? Why can't we also accept afflictions or evil in a sense, affliction from God? Well, his body started to give way. He had ulcer from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. He didn't give up. And then came his three friends to counsel him, but they became his enemies. They started to falsely accuse him. They said, you are suffering because you committed grave sins. And Job became very angry. And in the midst of it, he will ask God, why is it I'm so sad? Why am I so troubled? Yet he will say, even though he slay me, yet I will trust him. He was totally committed to keep on believing in God. You see, the reason why Job did not deny God or fall into utter depression is because he kept arguing with God, kept talking with God and dealing with God to come and give him an answer. Finally, the Lord answered him and lifted him up and blessed him 10 times more than before. That's what the scripture says. So you see, a Christian like Job, a believer like Job, can have suffering that comes as part of Christian life. A non-Christian will not face that. A Christian will face it. It's a trial of your faith. So if you believe that if you become a Christian, you will never have depressing time, you're wrong. Okay? So let's put that aside first. Nobody should ever preach that if you believe in Jesus, you will never be sad. It's not true. There are many reasons why you may fall into sadness, but the good news is this. Even though there will be unexplainable situation of sadness that overcome us, we have hope to stand firm and strong. We don't have to be overwhelmed by it. So I chose a passage probably that will give us an understanding of depression in a biblical way for a Christian to deal with it. Okay? So once again, before I get into the text, if you are a Christian and if you are feeling depressed, there are a few things you need to know. First, you've got to ask yourself very sincerely, do you have any sort of sickness? Any allergy, for instance, or any kind of tumor, or some sort of issues like diabetes, or blood pressure, or some kind of medication you are taking? Because sometimes the medications that are prescribed to you can cause depressing spells. So it may not be some sort of spiritual problem. It can be an organic problem, a physical problem due to the medication you take or due to certain physical disorder you have. You know, I'm suffering from diabetes for many, many years, and I know how it can make me very frustrated at times, very sad at times, sometimes worked out. So I have to tell myself, come on, lift up, lift your soul up. Don't give up. Don't give in to the stress. Taking medicine every morning, afternoon, and evening, and injecting yourself every day two times is not easy. Sometimes it makes you very frustrated. And so you need to check whether you are going through any such situation, and that's one. Of course, for girls during their period, they can feel very stressful and distressed. And they need to take care of themselves and say, well, this is part of my growing up. I must learn to trust to overcome my stress. And don't give in to it. So there are physical reasons why sometimes we feel very distressed. The other thing that you need to ask yourself, if you have no physical problem that could have resulted in this kind of depressing thought, ask yourself, have I been sinning against the Lord? Have I been sinning against the Lord? Because chastisement is very real. Before we get into Psalm 77, I just want to show you with regard to this point of reason for depression, Psalm 32. Now, this is David telling us how troubled he was until he confessed his sins, starting with verse 1. Psalm 32, starting with verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed here means happy. Okay? Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, that means when he did not confess his sins, what happened? David says, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. So when he kept quiet about his sin, you know how David tried to cover his sins. After killing Uriah, the husband of the woman whom he loved, lustfully, of course, which was Bathsheba, and he committed adultery, and he pretended as though nothing happened until God sent his prophet Nathan to confront him. And he actually tells us what was going on with him during this time of his sin, before his confession of sin. He was feeling so horrible that he describes it in verse 3 as, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He suffered bone ache. That's part of stress and depression. He was not suffering from bone cancer. He was not having rheumatism. Because after that, he fought a lot of battle, and he was a great king. But this is during this time of sin and lack of confession and acknowledgement of sin. God did heavily deal with him. And so because of God's heavy dealing, he cried out. And verse 4 says, for day and night thy hand, or God's hand, was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. He was feeling like totally drained out of water. You can just imagine how you feel when you are so thirsty and your body feels dry. You know how dry skin is, how irritating it can be. So when you feel the whole body is squeezed out of any water particle, it's a horrible feeling. You are like in an oven, not just in a sauna. Really like in an oven. It's terrible. And that's how he's feeling. His body was responding to the guilt in conscience. Conscience was utterly ruined in the sense that he knew God is against him, his sin is great, and he couldn't just take it. He was so afraid. Now, what happens when he confesses sin? Look at what David says in verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. So what David here says is that the hiding place for a Christian who sinned is not secretiveness that he cultivates around him. You know, self-justification and self-covering up of your sin will not deliver you, will not give you a hiding place. Secretiveness and unwillingness to confess your sin would burn you up, and the wrath of God will be upon you. So, having found this forgiveness from the Lord, he now says, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven and whose hiding place is not his own secretive behavior, but when his sins are hid in the blood of Christ, and he is hidden in the forgiveness, by the forgiveness of God, then of course the wrath of God is removed. Well, so you have seen that. If you have any sin or unrepentant sin, you better acknowledge that before the Lord. Now, as a youth, you will go through a series of, or periods of temptations of the same kind. You know, some may be given to anger. Their easily besetting sin can be short-tempered, blasting everybody around with bad words, with angry mood, throwing things around. There are young ladies and young men who are like that. Now, that can be a real struggle, and sometimes your parents may ask, how can you behave as a Christian like this? That can make you very sad and moody, and you become very, very fed up, and you just don't want to go to church, and enough, what is going on with me? You may feel that. You know, sometimes you think, I pray to the Lord for help to overcome it, but it's not going. That's it. What you just said is correct. So what do? You go back to him again and confess your sins, because you have not learned to overcome your sin. It would take time. It's a battleground. When you go into a battle, you don't expect it to be over before the sun goes down. And Christian life is a lifelong spiritual battle. Our problems are not going to be over tomorrow. Now let's say you are a young man with a lustful heart. Lust is the biggest problem. You are so constantly tempted by pornography. And you want to watch, and you watch it, and you felt so terrible about it, you ask the Lord to forgive. And thank God, for 1 week you seem to be on the top of things, and you are able to control your heart, and you don't go that way. But there comes another attack. And you easily fall into it, and you get very depressed. You get sad. You want to die. This, what's the point of living? What a shameful thing did I do? What do you do then? Well, be careful. It's not time to act like a defeated Christian. It's time to go to God again in prayer. Probably some of us have to pray 100 times or 1,000 times before we overcome some of our sins completely. But thank God, He is ever faithful to forgive our sins. He will not turn us away. So if you are in the midst of some form of battle against some ugly sins in your life, I would say fight on. Fight a good fight of faith. And your faith is that the Lord will not leave me alone. He will help me. And so you must continue to find ways to overcome your sin, because it's a battle. Put on the whole armor of God and fight. Stand fast and fight. So if you don't deal with it correctly and believe in the promises of God's forgiveness, you can be affected by it. You can be terribly depressed, and what's the point of praying? What's the point of going to church? What's the point of listening to God's word? What's the point of having Christian fellowship? I'd rather join the people who do the same kind of stuff with me. You see, this is where many people are now giving into homosexuality, because they say, you're born like that. Homosexuals are born like that. I agree. They are born like that. Who said they are not born like that? They say, this tendency to have sex with people of the same sex or same sex is because I have this liking within me. It's innate. I can't help it. Actually, all of us have lustful thoughts, isn't it? Is there a man or woman who doesn't have lustful thoughts? We are all born with a tendency to lie. Now, we all have lied. So what? So we call ourselves liars? No. We all have the tendency to get angry and be unforgiving. So we call ourselves murderers? No. We teach ourselves to overcome things that are wrong in our life. Every man is fallen. There is not one who is righteous. You see, the lust, when it comes in a certain situation, it can take all sorts of ugly form. If you are living in a situation where people have very little restraint over sexual conduct, you may become a fornicator at the age of 12 or 13, because everybody is like that. If you are living in a situation where pornography is easily available, and the tendency to watch it is very great. I mean, 20 years ago, when I didn't have a computer, you tell me there's such a thing called pornography on the internet. I can't even think about it because I don't even have a computer. I don't know what is internet like. It's not an issue. But today, you have all this stuff coming down into your pocket, into your little device called mobile, smartphone. It's full of any kind of stuff you want. So the tendency is very great when it comes to being attracted to these things. Now that doesn't mean you can never overcome that. It's a battle real. Don't get depressed and say, oh, because somebody in the school tried to take advantage of my sexuality and now he tried to get close to me and all over me and he says I'm gay like him, that's why I just let him do or say whatever he wants to me, so let's go together. I met recently a couple of young people, just finished secondary school, already gays. I couldn't believe my ears. And one is from a BP church. It's horrible. Just unbelievable what's going on. So I was trying to tell this young man, don't get depressed. You are not a gay. He said, no, why did God make me like this? See, now it's God's fault. He said, don't get it wrong. I can be a gay if I don't believe it's a sin. Anybody can be a fornicator. Anybody can, have sex before marriage, unless you believe it's a sin and repent from it. And I want you to understand that when sin occurs in your life once or twice, please, the Lord doesn't want you to be dejected and give up your battle. You better rise up, because there is victory in Christ. You've got to start thinking correctly. Most of the time, people who are depressed and give up the battle in life are those who surrender the thinking to their own defeated thoughts and their own willingness to just give up everything and do whatever the world does. Let's come back to Psalm 77, which is what I want to explain to you, and here you will see what is really depression is like when it comes to believers. It can be because of sin present or trials in your life, and don't fall into this particular situation that is described here by the psalmist. Asaph, who wrote this psalm, was going through some serious depression of a believer. And this is what he said. I cried unto God. Are you with me? Okay, the first 10 verses describes his real condition. And let's look at it. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Now that sounds okay. When you're in trouble, you cry unto God. That's the correct thing to do. He even raised his voice and cried. He was not ashamed to cry. Very good thing to do. So you see, if you are feeling sad, nothing bad, okay, just cry it. Cry it out to the Lord. You say, Lord, I'm very troubled. Sometimes you don't know what's coming upon you. A kind of shadow of sadness sometimes come upon us. It can be a trouble. It can be a trial. It can be a chastisement from God. We do not know. But you don't have to worry about what causes all this problem. You just go to God and tell Him how you feel. Lift up your voice All right, so one good thing that you must learn is that give voice to your feelings. Give voice to your sadness. Not voice to people, but before God. Go to God and tell Him exactly. You can tell Him, Lord, I'm very frustrated. I don't know why. I'm feeling very angry. I'm feeling like killing myself. Just say it to God. Lord, help me. Don't sit there and keep thinking about what you're feeling. There is one who says, cast your burden upon me. The Lord will care for you. So please tell it to Him. And in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. You see? Here the psalmist says, actually I've been praying. I sought the Lord. But the deep affliction, my soul, he says, ran in the night. Throughout the night, he was feeling a very painful heart. For some reason, he was troubled, deeply troubled, and he can't sleep well. He's awakened by the sadness. And he says, it ceased not. Look at that. A ceaseless pain. Some sort of gloominess hanging over his head all the time. My soul, now this is very, very serious. This is the deepest point of depression at the end of verse 2. My soul, what? Refused to be comforted. I have several times counseled people who are depressed. But when people are in this situation, there's nothing I can do. Nothing gets into them. Because they don't want. They don't want to hear anything. You would start talking to him. Hi, brother, how are you? I'm all right. Can I talk to you from the scripture? Okay. So here is a verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I know everything. No need to talk to me. You know, when people come to that, there's nothing you can do because they block it off. They refuse to be comforted. Sometimes it's deliberate. Sometimes they themselves don't know what to do. If you come to this level, I truly believe you are very depressed. But don't after learning this, don't go and pretend. My soul refused to be comforted. I'm very depressed. I don't want anybody to comfort me. Don't do that. This is real situation, but it can be yours also. And not that you want to have it, not that you want to pretend to have it, but you may have it. You may come to this. Now, please don't say, I will never be in this situation. Let me ask you, can you tell me some of the names of godly people who felt depressed in the Bible? Have you ever come across anybody in your Sunday school or your own study of God's Word? God's people who were depressed. Anyone? Okay, one from the Old Testament. How about all those on the left, all the girls? Any name of anybody who was depressed? You all look very depressed. Come on. I'm not asking this question to make you so sad. Give me a name, that's all. All right. Any name? Okay, time's up. How about this side? Anyone?
Jeremiah,
very good. Jeremiah was very depressed. He was a weeping prophet. One of his books is called Lamentation. He was crying and crying and crying. There we go. Jeremiah, a very godly man. You know, Elijah, the prophet, I don't know whether you know about Elijah. Jezebel was chasing him. He was so scared and troubled. And he ran and he went all the way into the wilderness and he said, God, take my life. I want to die. He wanted to die. How about Jesus? Was Jesus ever depressed? Oh, what a question. Did Jesus ever say, my heart is sorrowful even unto death? Did Jesus say that? Those words are Christ's words. My heart is sorrowful even unto death. When did Jesus say that? Just before he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's the time he called his disciples to pray for him, particularly James, John, and Peter. He said, please pray with me And then Jesus prayed, and the sweat was dropping down like blood from the womb. You remember that story? He was very sorrowful, deeply depressed. Sweat, not because it's hot weather, but his heart was boiling. His soul was terribly affected by what's coming. So it's nothing unspiritual to be depressed. It can come, okay? So don't say to somebody who is depressed, you have no faith. But you must say, increase your faith. Trust in the Lord. That's fine. But don't say there's no faith. Especially Christians, you've got to be very tender and gentle with them. Don't stand there and say, you know, I don't understand you, you know. If it's me, I say, get lost, like, trust God. Don't do this kind of macho kind of behavior when somebody is depressed. They need some help. You, all that you need to do is, like Jesus says, come and pray with me. Will you not tarry with me for a while and pray? And sometimes you just have to pray for them. You may not know how to pray very much, then take a psalm and pray. Because many of the psalms are written during times of affliction and sadness. For example, Psalm 42 has these words, O my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Sometimes just read the psalm with them. Well, I wish I have two more messages to preach to complete. There's so much material in the scripture that tells us how to help others also to overcome. So if you can't really figure out what the problem is and how to solve the problem, at least you say, we will pray together. Let's read a portion of the scripture. Our Lord says He's a God of comfort. Let's read that. Okay? Psalm 77 is a good psalm because we are going to go through it. Okay, let's go. So depression is real. It's the worst situation is when one says, I don't want any more. And that's very, very dangerous because the next step to many is suicide. Because they don't want to live, they don't want any peace, and say, I want to die. And that's very dangerous. You see, if somebody say, I want to die, in itself is not a sin. I also want to die and go to be with the Lord. You know what I mean? Whenever, you know, the ministry is so tough, I say, Lord, come quickly or take me home. Elijah prayed that. But what is wrong is this. We try to take our own life. The best you can do is that, Lord, if it is your will, take my life quickly. You can pray that. But surrender to God. Okay? Not your will, but your will, Lord. I wish I am not anymore here. This trouble will be over. I will be with you. You can pray that, no problem. But you must not take things into your hand. Okay, so this is the worst point of depression. Again, verse 3. This is very interesting. Look at this. I remembered God. What's the next? I was troubled. Eh? I thought when we remember God, we should be happy. How come when you remember God, you become so sad? That's depression. You go back and read the book of Job. Whenever Job talks about God, he says, where is my God? How come He's not answering me? How come He's not vindicating me? My friends are sitting here and don't go home. Sit here and keep on telling I'm a bad man. Yo, how long should I hear this? Lord, just do something. Either take these guys away or give me some peace. And what did his dear wife say? Curse God and what a helpmate, first class. She says to the poor, suffering husband, curse God and die. You know, do you have to say to somebody with suicidal, go and die? Boy, that's equivalent to just pushing him down. I tell you, sisters, never be a Mrs. Job, okay? Never be. I think Job would have said, Lord, I would have traded her for all other things I lost. It's so horrible. I don't think the cow and the cattle would say, my job, curse God. No. It's the helpmate who said. Oh, terrible. Never be a counselor like Mrs. Job. So difficult. So when you read the book of Job, you see the same kind of situation. Job becomes very agitated and troubled, and he argues with God, not without faith, but with some sort of deep faith. He still engages God, you know. He never denied God. He never challenged God, except, why is it that you are not vindicating me? Why is that you leave me without any help? So he would say, yet God, if you slay me, I would still trust you. If worms would eat my flesh, and I look forward to the day, he says, when my eyes shall see my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer liveth. He wouldn't give up. He can plunge deep into depression and feel very troubled. And he shake up everything all of a sudden and say, I trust God. Sometimes you can feel very troubled when you realize that God didn't answer your prayers, right? You feel that? I felt, how come God never answer me? Oh, so stressful. Oh, Lord, please, please, please. Have you ever felt that? Maybe you didn't get that sort of depressing moment. Sometimes God seemed to be very far from you. And whenever you remember God, you get frustrated. Why is that I'm not delivered? Why is that not I'm not delivered? In Apostle Paul's situation, he had a thorn in the flesh. How many times did he pray for the relief from thorn in the flesh? 3 times. Why didn't he stop after praying first time? Why didn't he stop after second time? Why did he pray 3 times? Trouble was real. And he didn't know where to go, only to God. And then God didn't answer first time. He started knocking again. And knocking again. And knocking again. You see, exactly the same thing. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. And my spirit was overwhelmed. You never stop complaining. Now that's what you all should do, okay? When you're very troubled, go to God and keep on praying. Keep on talking. Keep on asking. Keep on airing your grievances before the Lord. Oh Lord, don't abandon me. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? These are the languages that God's people have cried out in the midst of the trial. Verse 4, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. He is now complaining to God. You see me waking up in the morning. I want to talk to you, but I have no more voice. Because sometimes your heart can be so overwhelmed, you don't know what to pray. Have you ever experienced that? I have experienced many times in my life. There are times I went to pray because my heart is troubled. I want to talk to God, everything I'm feeling, but I just can't pray. I get choked with emotions and I just cry, that's all. I sit before God for a few minutes of crying, just not praying anything. At the end, I feel comforted because God heard my cry. I get a bit of strength to do my next duty and I go on. Sometimes I'm driving, I just cry out to God, oh Lord, I can't do this anymore. It's too much, too many things, too troublesome. Help, oh God, help, oh God. And please, remember this, when you're deeply troubled, when no man can help, if you can only cry, just cry to God. Even thinking about God can be very troubling to you, but never mind. Just do this if you can. Verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. In other words, he remembered the stories of godly men in the past. Like you can remember how Elijah was depressed, or Moses was depressed, or Jeremiah was depressed, or Christ was depressed, or Paul was depressed. And how God helped them over the years. And so you may wonder, how come God did so many things? Why? When is he going to do for me? Do I have to go through all those struggles or so? You get very troubled when you consider the days of old. Verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. Now he's talking about his own experience. In the past, he would sing in the night because of joy. But now he cried, can't even pray. His heart is so painful. He's hoping I can again sing. I can sing in the night. So now when you think about the songs that he used to sing in the night, he gets very sad. How come life has changed? I commune with my own heart. and my spirit made diligent search. You see, if you ever can do this in times of depression, it's good. You commune with your own heart to search it. Oh, my soul. The classic evidence of it, please put a finger here and go to Psalm 42. Let me show you how, just one incident, there are hundreds of such experiences recorded in the Bible, but just a quick one, Psalm 42, verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I have gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. So he is saying that, you know, when my trouble come, I think of the time when I went to the house of God with people, like all of you are here. Maybe next week you are so depressed because of something that happened and you cannot come, and then you remember how happy it was the past few weeks when you came for YF. And you feel very stressed and troubled in the home when you are resting. But this is how he communed with himself. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You talk to yourself. Why are you so depressed? Why art thou disquieted in me? Oh, hope thou in God. You don't need a preacher to come around and preach to you. You don't need your pastor always to come and counsel you. It's good for them to come, nothing wrong. But you can do this yourself. You know, pastor cannot be with you all day long. Your parents cannot be with you all day long. You've got to go and do other things. So you must learn to teach your own heart. Commune with your own heart. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And again, you can see the same thing in verse 11. Did you see that? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. God is the health of my countenance. So he kept looking to God. Again, Psalm 43 at the end, same truth is repeated. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. So you see, this is how the psalmists, when enduring their depressing moments, handle themselves. When they think about God, they feel sad. When they think about the church, they feel sad. Because they are in a very terrible situation. When will my deliverance come? Will I ever be in the house of God? Will I ever be happy again? Maybe not. Maybe I don't know. So at that time you talk to your own heart and say, oh my soul, trust in God. He will help you. Verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? Coming back to Psalm 77, verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? See the question? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Will God ever forget anything? Of course not. Will he be unfaithful? No. Is he not always gracious? Yes. But your heart is going to question all this. So he is talking all this out from his heart. Don't keep it in your heart. Like the psalmist, bring it out before God. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity, or this is my depression. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Now, here begins the recovery. Up till now, you see the actual struggle of a spiritual man in depression. But it's good. It's a wrestling. It's a fight. It is altogether, an emboldened spirit, unwilling and refusing to give up and give in to the attack on his soul. It is the struggle of the highest kind. In depression, you need the highest and the noblest fight ever fought. It doesn't need a lot of strength. It is the weakest point of your life. Bodily, emotionally, and in every sense you have no strength. But you refuse to give because your faith is alive. You engage God. Not deny God, but engage God. Where art thou, O God? Because that's a cry of faith. Faith is never happy without the presence of God. So craving for it. Crying for it. not giving it up. It's not playing guitar. You don't have the mood to play guitar. You may be a pianist. You may be a harpist. But you can't enjoy the sounds of any of these things. In that great and most trying time, you go to God and pray. Now, the recovery is like this. After praying, verse 11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. You know, what you should fill your mind with is not the present situation of your problem. If you have pain in your body, if you have anxious moments about tomorrow or what might happen and what will be the outcome of the present situation, don't focus on it. Okay, your mind must be committed to who God is and what God has done in the past for God's people who trusted Him. Try to see that. Try to fill your mind with God's great deeds of redemption and deliverance in the life of God's people who are troubled. You see, the problem with the depression is this. It tries to make your mind always filled with your problem. Problem, problem, problem. I failed. I'm a disaster. You know, my parents don't like me. My brother doesn't like me. My sister doesn't like me. I want to kill myself. I want to leave the home. I want to show everybody that I don't care for anyone. You know, all these problems fills your mind. But Christians, here is the example of victory that teaches us a great lesson. Stop thinking about all these problems. Think about your God. Remember God. It may trouble you, but don't give up. And think about what God has been doing in the history. The Bible is full of accounts of men of great and mighty faith and power who have gone through deepest valleys of sadness. David was a depressed individual many a time. You read the Psalms, you will find out. And there is a passage in 1 Samuel that says David encouraged himself. This was when he went to the Philistines' land to escape King Saul. And there his men and his army turned against him because the Amalekites came and took all their wives and children. And so his own men wanted to kill him. David was very lonely. He became a lone soul there. And he cried. Everybody cried. Even men cried. And then the verse there says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. O my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. So when you hope thou in God, you have to remember the things that God has been doing to help God's people, the works of old. Now, verse 12. I will meditate also of all thy work, talk of thy doings. Now, you know, it's not necessary you have to think about a particular kind of work that God has done to come out of your depression. For example, you are now depressed because of sickness, a particular sickness that you're undergoing. You know it's not going to go away quickly and you have trouble. So you don't have to always think about how did Jesus heal people? Healing, you know, or how did God help those who were sick? Okay, thorn in the flesh that Paul had. Okay. Now, it's okay to remember those things, but you can remember creation, that's the work of God. You can think of God's judgment. You can think of God's care, God's way of revealing the truth in Mount Sinai. In all these work, there may be something that is particularly important for you. You know, there are some people who believe it. Let me give you an illustration of this very quickly. Some people think in order for a person to be saved, we must bring him to gospel rally. So I have seen Christians who refuse to bring their non-Christian friends to church on Sunday because they say there is no gospel message. No message particularly meant to convict a sinner. So they don't bring. I don't think it's a good idea. You know, people can be saved in any of the services that we have in the church. It can be a message on creation, it can be a message on judgment, it can be a message on providence of God. It may not be a message on sinner being converted. It can be one. It's amazing how a heart can be completely overwhelmed by the greatness of God. When I was a young preacher, I went to preach in one of our YAF meetings in New Life BP Church, and there was a dentist in that meeting. It was a youth camp retreat, YAF retreat, Young Adults Fellowship retreat, and I preached. He was not a Christian. I didn't know he was not a Christian. I saw this young adult sitting there. I preached. After that, he came up to me and said, "You know, Pastor Koshi, I really believe everything you said. I have no problem. I'm not a Christian, but I think there is one thing I've never, I never got an answer. If you can answer me that, tonight I want to receive Christ, because your preaching has worked in my heart and I want to believe." I was not preaching a gospel message that night. And that he says he wants to believe that night, but I must answer his one question. So I asked him, "What's the question?" I got very scared. Imagine if I don't answer that question, he won't be saved. So I prayed in my heart, "Lord, whatever the question be, please help me." And he asked me a very strange question I never thought of. "How can a big dinosaur go into Noah's ark?" Now, if I answer that, he said he will pray that night to receive Christ. I said, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on me." I never seen a dinosaur. But suddenly I remembered, you know, reading some of those creations evolution debate stuff. I remember that they're talking about dinosaur, and, you know, dinosaurs have eggs, you know that, and they come out of the egg, they are not big ones. They take time to grow into the big size. So I said, "Noah in the Bible says God brought two big adult ones. God might have brought two youngs, healthy ones." Then he suddenly knocked his head. "How come I never thought about it?" He became a Christian that night. He's a deacon today in that church. So I just want to let you know, even when it comes to depression, please don't think it must be always reading the right one. Where is that depression thing? What's the one that Pastor Koshi preached from? I cannot remember. You don't worry. Just keep reading what you are reading. If you are following RPG and all those verses that come through, just keep on reading. God will meet you there. You can think of all the works of God. You will never know how the Holy Spirit is going to help you and lift you up. So put your hope in God's Word. Think about the works of God that are recorded in the Scriptures. Verse 13. By the way, verse 12 will say, "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." You not only meditate, but you also start talking. Write diary about what you learn about God. I'll send an SMS to a friend. "You know, I'm so troubled, but God said this to me. Praise God. I just want to share with you." Or write it on your blog so others to see. Or write it on the Facebook. Don't take your moody picture and put on Facebook. Put all your hair down. See how depressed I am. Don't do that. Write about what God is doing. Talk about God's doings. You know, that would cheer your heart. Okay. Don't cut your wrist and take a photo and say, "See, guess what this is." Well, very smart. I don't think you're depressed. You're trying to be funny. Because if you're depressed, you won't do such weird things, right? Okay. Next, verse 13. "The way of God is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" Well, the word sanctuary refers to the place of worship. And he says, "Oh, I think about God and his worship." You must teach your heart to love God's presence, to go to God's house. If you can, if you have the strength, if you have means, get there and listen to the singing of God's people and rejoice in it. If you can't sing, it's okay. Just let them sing. If you feel like crying when others sing, never mind. Cry. It's okay. Just be in God's house. Verse 14, "Thou art God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." Here the psalmist says, you know, when I think about the great hymns and psalms that people sing in the Lord's house, it describes the greatness of God that worked in the past, the time of the patriarchs. Or when you sing "God of Abraham," wonderful hymn, "the faith of our fathers, Christ can hold me fast. Though I fear my faith would fail, Christ can hold me fast. What a friend we have in Jesus. Day by day, as each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. When you hear others singing and it makes meaning and others are strengthened by these songs, you also say, my God lives, you care for me. So remember, in your deepest moments, try to remember God's greatness. Read His scriptures. Think of going to fellowship. And if you can, go. If not, nowadays you have webcam, turn it on. Or listen to live webcast of your church or whatever you can get to. And rejoice with others. And that's very important. You know, that's why it's good if some of you guys can have, you know, all these modern stuff to air God's word around the world. Do it. Because you will never know who will find it very, very comforting in the moments of struggle. Verse 16 to 20, quickly. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds pour out water. The skies send out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea. Thy path in the great waters. And thy footsteps are not known. Up to here, you know, the things that the psalmist described are terrible, calamitous events of the world. Earth shaking, the sea raging, but in the midst of it, it's amazing. Verse 19 says, the way of God is way in the sea, thy path in great waters. Nothing of such calamitous, tumultuous event can prevent God from passing through. God can walk over a raging sea. God can pass through a storm. He can be in the midst of a fiery furnace. Isn't that true? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego saw one unto Son of Man in the midst of the sea, midst of the fire, isn't it? Jesus walked on the water, didn't he? He stopped the storm and walked through it. Elijah saw the storm coming and God's voice came through it. So, my dear brothers, please don't think your calamitous situation is the end of life. God can be there. And He is an expert in walking over tumultuous sea and passing through raging sea. He is our God. Don't discount who your God is. In fact, the most troubled situation you find are going to be extraordinary manifestation of God's goodness and grace and strength to you. So be calm. Start looking for God's greatness to help you through. Depression is real, but it gives a real experience to God's people to find out the greatness and the magnificence of their God, because God walks on the sea, walks through the storm, appears in the fiery furnace, and be ever present. That's why, you know, Psalm 46 is a very interesting psalm. I love it very much. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. So if trouble is near, who is there? God is. God is nearer than the trouble. A very present help in trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1. Finally, verse 20 of Psalm 77. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You know, here the psalmist says, yes, God's people went through many dejecting times, but God was kind and He used the leaders like Moses and Aaron to guide them. Well, Israel came to the Red Sea. They were so sad. They thought they were going to be killed by the Egyptians. But then Moses prayed and God said, stretch out His hand. And the water moved to the sides and they went through the dry ground. So Moses and Aaron led them for 40 years through the wilderness till they came to the promised land, right? So in all those depressing, needy, frightening situations, God gave leadership through God's servants. So I want to say something. If you are deeply troubled, please don't pull away. Remember, God has provided you pastors, elders, preachers, godly Christians around you. Respect them. And remember, they are there to help you. Call them. Ask them to pray for you. Ask them to come and give you some comfort from God's word. It's good. James says, if any among you sick, what should they do? They must call the elders. so that I pray for you. So it is wonderful that your church has pastors, preachers, elders to help you. And that is God's gift to you. So if you are troubled, you are not to be afraid. You remember God. And if you need further help, call your pastors. Let them come and help you, pray with you and preach to you, accept the truth. Soon you'll be overcoming all these things. God's good time. So don't be dejected because you are dejected. But when dejection comes, remember, God is going to show himself great to you in the midst of these afflictions. Because he is the master of the sea. He rides the waves. And he comes to his people. A very present help. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the time that we spend in studying your word. We know not what sort of trouble will come upon us. Sometimes because of our sin or our foolishness. Sometimes others' foolishness and sin causes us to be sad and troubled. Sometimes unexplainable problems come upon us as we have an enemy, the devil and the world. And Lord, because thou hast said in this world we will have tribulation, we now ready ourselves to go through all these things. Thank you for speaking to us through thy word. Give grace and strength to your people. In Jesus' name.